Our topic tonight for the basics is a quiet time, something that every Christian, irregardless of how young or old he is in the Lord, needs to be building a personal relationship with God. And the way that we do that is by spending time in the presence of God. And if we do that, needless to say, it pleases the heart of God because He loved us and He desires to spend time with us. Now, the purpose of this quiet time is to build a personal relationship with God. We're told in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But to as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." God wanted to build a personal relationship with us. He made us a son. And now He wants us to develop that relationship with Him. And we do this day by day as we spend time in His presence, growing to a maturity where we are no longer children or babies, but that we become His sons and His daughter. I think of the passage over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 where it says, "But we all with open faces, beholding as in glass or a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And when we spend time beholding His face through the pages of the Word of God, He is in the process of conforming us and transforming us into the likeness and the image of His own Son. And as His children, we need to desire to spend time with Him daily. And we do that by spending time in His Word, getting to know Him, allowing God to speak to us, and then, of course, as we pray, we speak back to Him. Now, there are certain basic elements in developing a relationship, and one of those things is time. And any relationship simply takes time. Most of you, when you were younger and you were courting, you had to take time out of your busy schedule to go and be with this person and begin to build that relationship. And relationships just take time. Not only do they take time, but they take communications. And for communications to take place, it means that we have got to converse with God. And God has got to converse back with us. And in that conversation, it isn't so much just facts and ideas as much as it is both feeling and attitudes that are being expressed. And that real communications have got to take place. And the way that we converse with God is through prayer, and the way that God converses with us is back through His Word as we spend time in it. And then circumstances are also a part of developing that relationship where we understand one another by observing the different circumstances that we find ourselves in. And through our quiet time, God makes us aware that He is concerned about every circumstance of our life and is present, and that He is capable of helping us. And because we do know that He understands, and He has been tempted with everything, He is in touch by our infirmities, that somehow there is the understanding that's built between the two of us. And then The other thing has to do with attitudes, which are all so important. And attitudes towards a relationship will determine the priority or the development of that relationship. And many of us express daily an attitude to God, whether we like it or not, that, Lord, I am just too busy for you. And somehow you are not as important as these other things. Now, you may never say it to him in that way, but he does have the message, because that relationship just doesn't have a high enough priority to be a daily part of your life. Or maybe it does, and day after day we are found in his presence, and God realizes that that really is important to us, and it's important to him. Not only must there be the attitudes, but there must also be the objectives in that relationship. If we aim at nothing, we will certainly hit it. And if we have no objectives, when hard times come, the relationship will flounder and will die. And our objective is to get to know God in a personal way and to build a communication where at any hour of the day or night that I can be in his presence, talking, sharing the things that are upon my heart, asking for guidance and counsel, that he might reveal his will to me. Now, for that quiet time to be daily a part of your life, there is really going to have to be a real conviction from Scripture. And Jesus, of course, is the perfect example in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. It was important to him, early in the morning, a quiet place in the presence of God. I think of the passage over in Joshua chapter 1 in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Now, it's interesting to note that this is not Moses' charge to Joshua, but God's charge to Joshua. And he's saying to him, Joshua, if you are going to be a man that I can use, then daily you must be found in that word, in communion with me. I think of David's example over in Psalm 143, verse 8, where he says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness early in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. David, like Jesus, found it necessary early in the morning to begin his day in the presence of God. Jesus instructed us. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Whatever else one does in a day's time, it is considered nothing for Christ's point of view if it does not include him. Now, being in his presence also requires that worship and communion take place. Prayer is the way that we communicate with God, and one of the things that we want to be communicating to us, to Him, is our praise and worship of Him. And not only do we want to praise Him, but we want to take and to communicate through our prayers those things which are upon our heart. So oftentimes the relationship is blocked because of sin in our own life. And if it is, then one of the things we need to be talking about and seeking from God is confession, so that our lives might be cleansed and that the Spirit of God would be pleased to use us. And then we need to be thanking God for what He is and has done in our life. And then we need to take and lay before God those things which are on our hearts. As we both lay our own petitions as well as intercede for other people. Now, in a very real way, what we are talking about is a simple acrostic called ACTS that is made up of adoration, it's made up of confession, it deals with thanksgiving, and certainly with our supplication. And as we are involved in the process of communicating with God through our prayers, God wants to be involved in communicating back to us, and He basically does that through the medium of His Word. Because that is the way that God speaks to us and communicates the things that are upon His heart. I think of the passage over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." That so oftentimes we are walking down the path, we get off, God reproves us, He gives us correction of how we get back on, and through instruction keeps us walking in His way and in His will. But God communicates back through His Word. And somehow we need to be like those newborn babes that Peter talks about, where he says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." And though we may be old men in Christ, we need to have that desire, even as a child or a baby has for milk. And if we desire His Word, it says we grow thereby. Daily time in God's Word is essential if we hope to be equipped to win and to disciple other people. I think of the passage over in Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, where He says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thy heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, for they shall withal be fitted in thy lips." And here in the Greek, it goes back and it draws an expression that an archer uses. And what God is saying, that if our word is kept in Him, that those words will be fitted in our lips, as much as an archer takes his arrow out of the quiver and then takes and places it in his bow and draws it back. God will do the same thing. And when He sends His word out, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the end, whereto I send it." If we bow down to hear the words of the wise, apply them unto our hearts. It is a pleasant thing. They shall be fitted in thy lips as much as the archer fits his arrow into his bow. Now, beloved, that is why it is so important for you to be sharp in your scripture memory. Those are not your words or your translation. They are God's word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of our heart. Boy, I'd give anything if my words were that way. They are not, but God's are. And as long as God's are, mine don't have to be, provided I will just use His. And to be able to do that, it means I have got to write them upon the tables of my heart. And if I do that, then the Spirit of God will be ever so faithful that in your hour of need, to come along and to reach in there and to pull that verse out and then to take and to fit it right there in those lips. And it will accomplish what He pleases. So, the Word of God is so important. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned." So often when God kind of wakes us in the morning, because He'd like to whisper in our ear, we think it's just to roll over on the other side. And we miss some of the greatest blessings of our life. If you're going to be successful, there are a few helpful hints that I could take and give to you. One is go to bed in time in order to awake refreshed and alert. Choose a quiet place where you can be alone in the presence of God, and don't rush. So oftentimes we go through at 90 miles an hour, and if God had anything to say, He's not going to get it across today because I just don't have time. Once we have been in His presence, we need to stay there. And so oftentimes in the day, you know, I just kind of take up the conversation where I've left it off. We need to aim at never missing an appointment with God if we've made one with Him. And we need to be on time, ready to listen. And if we're ever going to be successful, then we have got to make it one of the top priorities of our day. If you put it off, I promise you the devil will do everything within his power to make sure that you never get back. Desire is part. Decision is another part. Determination is another. But I'll tell you, it's a discipline that when that alarm clock goes off, to get out of bed and be in the presence of God. And we need to be doers and not hearers only. Let me conclude by saying this. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. Jesus realized that before a man comes to Christ, he is a dichotomy. He is made up of body and soul. Christ comes and takes up residence in the heart and life of an individual, he becomes a trichotomy, and now the Spirit of God comes to live and to dwell within him. Now, the way we take care of the physical is that we eat and gain strength. And the way that we grow spiritually is daily feeding ourselves from the Word of God. Now, Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone. And it's a tragedy that so many people spend so much time trying to make a liar out of Jesus. Because they do try and live by bread alone, but only to their detriment. And daily we need to be nourishing and feeding ourselves from the Word of God if we are going to grow and mature. And every great man who has ever left his mark on this world for the cause of Christ was a man who put a priority upon his own personal devotion to God. I think of Job, that great man. And his secret is found in chapter 23, in verse 12 of his book, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips, for I have esteemed the words of his mouth more necessary than my food. If you get up in the morning, you're running a little late, it's either breakfast or my quiet time. Which wins? Most of the time I'll catch you at lunch, Lord. And our physical food is more important than our spiritual. I think of Ezra. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He prepared his heart. He spent time in the presence of God. Consequently left his mark, the psalmist. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. He saw the importance. Day and night, meditating in the presence of God. Jeremiah, chapter 15, verse 16, the words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy of my rejoicing. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. To him, the word of God was the joy of his rejoicing. For so many of us, it's not the joy of our rejoicing. It's a burden. And it's almost as if we have to do this thing. And if that's true in our life, we'll never leave our mark for the cause of Christ. We may leave our mark, but it'll not be for his cause. Let me close with this quotation by E.M. Bounds. The men who have most fully illustrated Christ in their character and have most powerfully affected the world have been men who have spent much time with God as to make it a notable feature in their lives. To be little with God is to be little for God. And daily, we need to be found in his word. Father, we do ask that tonight the simple truths of what the word of God has spoken to us about will somehow grip our hearts and change our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen.